Welcome to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. Each week brings a new message that looks to invite you into a new life brought by Jesus Christ. We hope you are inspired and changed by God by the message brought by today's speaker.
Earlier today, we heard from the lighting of the first Advent candle about the theme of the Christmas is hope. It is a word that has a tremendous amount of volume of blessedness and understanding that we can have and can embrace. It comes from a wonderful theme that is embraced by us all, at least in part. And I'm going to be the first to tell you, I'm none of your business age, and I'm still learning about what hope means. That word, hope, has basically three greatly predominant words in the scriptures. Two are in the Hebrew and one is in the Greek, i.e. two in the Old Testament, one in the New Testament. As far as the Old Testament, in the Hebrew, there are two words. One is kwava and the other is tikva. Kwava means wait actively, and here's a big one, with anticipation for what is desired, what is sought for, what is hungered, what is needed. One such verse that refers to this reference is probably known by all of us, Isaiah 40, verse 31. They who kwava upon the Lord. We sometimes see that they that wait, but it is they who hope in anticipating, waiting is the actual literal meaning. They who kwava upon the Lord, they shall renew their strength. They shall run, mount up with wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they will not faint. The underlying truth of this verse is this: all and any of those who enter and center in their hope upon God, upon the Lord, are cemented in waiting for the Lord. You see, what we hope for, we wait for. It cements our faith into that which we are hoping for. And it is something that leads to tremendous answers, tremendous breakthrough, and tremendous situations that come our way. The one of whom we hope for is who we hope in. That hope, that kwava, is solidified in faith that results in our waiting anticipatingly, expectantly, and continually. We will run, we will not be weary, we will mount up with wings of eagles, we will fly above a lot of things, and we will walk this life of discipleship in Christ without fainting. The second word is tikva, T-I-K-V, Victor A, Alpha H, Hilo. It is translated hope in the English. That shared has still a much deeper in the Hebrew language. It means this. It means to be bound as with a cord, as a rescue line, as a stability line, life-preserving cord to God, that our hope, not him, but that our hope, will not fade. In short, enduring faithfulness to hold on to the absoluteness of God in our way. We read about Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, and we love it. But then we go to Jeremiah 31:17. It's important to note this. In Jeremiah, God is giving the children of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, either repent or I will send you into captivity. And by this time, the captivity is set. The people did not repent. They still became divisive. They still became argumentative. They still became opinionated. And they still had to have it their way. In the end result, they were multi-religion, otherwise polytheistic. They would worship Baal. They would worship this. They would worship that. They would do things that were absolutely detestable and still say they were believers. And now Jeremiah 31:17, there is tikva. For your future, declares the Lord, your children will be brought back. That generation would pass away that was doing that, but your children will be brought back to their own country. There is hope tied to me as a cord that they are tied to that promise, and that cord, children of Israel, does not fail. From the Greek, we find a word called elpesi, and it comes from the word elpsis. Boy, talk about speaking in tongues. Heaven help us, Hannah. The word means to concretely have confidence and expectation huge of what is promised will become reality. The application for most languages is this: God does not change. Our hope in Him is hope solidified. God fulfills what He promises. And in Him, we can live and breathe and have our being, but we have hope. Hope. This is the basis upon which the whole Jewish nation were functioning, believing, and holding on to. Not only in the times of the Old Testament prophets, but in the intertestamental period of 400 years, it seemed like God was silent. For 400 years, no prophetic voice. For 400 years, nothing new. For 400 years, they did not have anything that they could relate to of a new prophet. They had the priests, but silence seemed to be how God was working. Do you get it? Have you ever felt like God is silent for you? I got to tell you, there's been times that I've wondered where He is. Oh boy, we got a teacher in and I said where He is instead of where is He. But that's all right. Y'all can forgive me. Have you ever been there? This same binding of our hearts is with His cord of hope to us. This same belief in our spirits was cemented assurance of hope for that which we look for. This same concrete confidence of the hearing, listening, answering, and fulfilling of what has been promised to us, and that from the heart of God Himself. This brings us to the message this morning, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters. Let me share with you that from an emotional, a spiritual, and even a cognitive embracing of these absolute truths, there is reason to embrace hope. And that is the message of the hour. Jesus is the hope of the glory, the hope of all scriptures, the hope we must embrace if we are to be the children of the living God in a living dynamic relationship in our living today for living for Him. And we have a strong reason for this hope. There are over 351 and more references of prophecies about Messiah. They looked with expectancy. They had a hope. By way of background, let's go to the first one of it all, and then I'm going to have to just kind of go beyond. But the very first one, let's go to background. You may remember the story well. It's in Genesis, of all places. Adam and Eve have been created. They have been given the garden. They are overseeing the garden. And then here comes Satan. He has been kicked out of the perfect heaven to go into the perfect creation of the perfect God. And he brings himself, the imperfect one, the rebellious one, the tempting one, into the garden. And he says, did God really say? I'm going to share this with you, ladies and gentlemen. When people begin to doubt the true interpretation of what the true scriptures say by the true and living God, what they are really saying is, did God really say? And in a word, yes, He did. Yes, He did. To this, God has come to them, and He speaks to Satan because Satan has tempted them in the Garden of Eden through the serpent, and they fall. Satan would be at war with all generations of mankind from that time forward. The only creation of God in the garden other than mankind to be able to speak at that time was the serpent. We do not know why. We do not know how. We do not know how God, why God would allow it, except we say man has to have a choice to worship God. And from that choice, we can choose to do so. But Satan was able to get the snake to speak in a recognizable form to Eve and then Adam. So what's the hope? Genesis 3:15 is the hope. This is spoken to Satan and then also to the serpent, because then in 17 and 18, God speaks to Adam and Eve. This prophecy is to Satan. And he says this, I will put enmity, I will put at war between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God goes on to pronounce the judgment on Adam and Eve later, but the prophecy is spoken by God to Satan himself. From this point forward, there are far too many prophecies about what Messiah is to do and recount here, but that sets the tone. Let's look at that verse a bit. First, from this point forward, God is not ever recorded as prophesying himself about Jesus, but he speaks through prophets. Second, from this point forward, the serpent never again spoke, and the serpent never again walked. Third, the result of the crucifixion proves the Messiah was Jesus. His heels were bruised in the crucifixion, and when he went down to become over death, hell, and the grave, it bruised the head of Satan. So where does that take us? Where does that leave us? Intellectually, apologetically, and cognitively, what can we say? I went again to a place called empower.global, and it gave the mathematical probability of Jesus being the Messiah. And based only on eight, and I've shared this with you, but I've done more research as well for this week. Just eight of the over 350 prophecies being right, the likelihood of Jesus not being the Messiah is 1 to 10 to the 17th power. Just one. And they tried to calculate on all of them, and it was 1 of 10 to the infinitiest. It is impossible that Jesus is not Messiah. Now for our message today. Our theme today, our theme is this: biblical hope. Biblical hope. Our text has already been read, but we're going to read it again. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulders. His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wait a minute, he's a son. Yes, but he's a representation of the Everlasting Father. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end, and the throne of David over his kingdoms to establish it, to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Our sermon in a sentence is this, ladies and gentlemen. Biblical hope embraced is biblical hope believed and becomes biblical hope experienced. Biblical hope embraced is biblical hope believed and becomes biblical hope experienced. Where are we going to go with this? Point one is this. Point one is this. The hope that we have in Jesus is based on the Word of God about Jesus, i.e., the hope that we have in Jesus is the Word of God itself. When you start to doubt, when you start to minimize, when you start to try to change the Word of God, you change everything about God himself. I choose to say no. No. You see, we just believe that this book means what it says. This book is true. And that is what we stand on. And I, as a pastor, will not depart from. I've been an evangelist. I've been a missionary. I've been an assistant pastor. I've done a lot of things, and I choose to refuse to depart from this. I believe in the manual. Don't get me wrong. But the manual is even based on this. So let's just go to the foundation. I really believe that. Point A is this. Jesus was prophesied about in the Word of God. It is the Word of God himself. It's his own words that he gives to us. Yes, through the prophets, through Moses and forward, through the prophets, but it is the Word of God as he, God, is the author. He didn't have to call a committee. He didn't have to have a board meeting. He didn't have to have a leadership team meet after church today to decide what he wanted to do. And I love our leadership team. It is the best I've ever worked with. Let me just say that publicly. Thank you, all of you. But he didn't have to have a consensus. He didn't have to have a committee. And he sure didn't take and keep minutes, Debbie. And I'm glad you're glad he didn't. He is the author. It is the word of God from himself. He is the giver of the word. Not only the author, he gave it. He not only wrote it, he gave it. That we would not be in the dark. It is the word of God about himself. He is the revelation in the word of God. And it's all about God. There are two, I believe, there are two theologies and two absolute things that we build all of our theology, all of our belief, and all of our existence in Christendom today and any day upon. And that is, first of all, the word of God is the word of God. And second of all, God is holy and wants a holy life to be in a holy people to W-H-O-L-L-Y follow and experience. Everything else comes after that. Yes, there are other things that are important, but it's all based on those two things. He is the revelation in the Word. He, his plan, his purpose, his redemption are given. He is the revelator. He's the one who does the revealing of the Word. No other source is supreme. What he says is. It is holy. It is true. It can be hoped in and hoped upon. Not just hopped upon, but hoped upon, trusted, believed on, and held to. He is the only one to be believed. Any and all other beliefs, any and all other people, any and all other theologies, any and all other philosophies, regardless of how nice we may like those people, it has to be discarded. I can like a person, but not hold to what they do or what they say. There are people that I've had as acquaintances across the years that, boy, and I still love them for Christ's sake, but it's okay to surround myself with other people who are godly people. Point B is this: Messiah was anticipated because of the word. Messiah was anticipated because of the word. He was prophesied about in the Word, and B, as he was anticipated because of the Word, the prophecies. The incredible amount of prophecies point to a specific fulfillment of events. It isn't a broad general thing. It is very, very specific fulfillment of event. Multiple things have to be fulfilled for us to hold on to whoever that might be. And if we get into the Word of God, we will find he is the only one who did and could have. I like what David said. Have we taken time in our Bible today? Is it so important? Is our spiritual life so important that we have to be in the Word so that this Word of Christ dwells in us? So that it keeps us and flows from us. The incredible amount of prophecies pointed to a specific person who would fulfill them all. The incredible amount of prophecies pointed to and created the expectation, the seeking, the person events spoken of that they waited for in silence of God, seemingly in the intertestamental period. The fulfillment of the prophecies given about Jesus creates a kova, a tikva, an alpesi, hope for us, to us, and can do in us at this Christmas in a new way, in a new commitment, in a new realization, in a new experience. Point C, Jesus was fulfillment as proved in the Word. The government was upon his shoulders. His shoulders. Because the portals of heaven reveled in his coming. The government of the Roman Empire and the Sanhedrin and the church were on his shoulders and they rejected him. The government of the plan of God was on his shoulders and he fulfilled it all. You have heard, we are the reason. He is the season, we are the reason. He is the season. We are the reason. And this pastor will never put out or say or smile upon Xmas. Jesus is not an X. He is the Christ. He is the season. We are the reason. How's our hope today? Are we hoping in the eternality and the absoluteness and the dependability? Expectation. Faith. On, about, and in. Jesus. Biblical hope embraced is biblical hope believed and becomes biblical hope experienced. Point two is this. One was we have a hope, the Word of God. Point two is this, the hope we have in Jesus is based upon the ministry we discover and have in Jesus, i.e., the ministry of Jesus. The hope we have is in the ministry of Jesus. He is the fulfillment of that hope that is prophesied. What is the ministry of it? A, wonderful counselor. Look at our text. Wonderful counselor. He is a counselor to the brokenhearted. I'm going to give you several verses in each one here. Again, Bible-based. Psalms 34:18. The Lord is near to those with a broken heart and save such as have a contrite spirit. He's a counselor to the life that is sin-bound. I think you know it. It's John 3:16 and then goes into John 3:17. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we forget John 3:17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That is glorious. Hallelujah. Take off running. Take off shouting. Hope. There's the counselor for wisdom. We are going to be depending on this as we meet today for the leadership team. Proverbs 2:6. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Not just wisdom of what to do, but knowledge and understanding of what needs to be done, and gives a plan for how to do it best. I want to tell you, folks, you don't know this leadership team and the way that I interact with them, but it's incredible. I have been where there have been leadership teams that they made sure that they called themselves bored, and I was very bored to the gourd with them. Or they took me to the woodshed as the board. But this is a leadership team that wants to say Jesus is our leader. Let's discover what he wants to do. And we go as a team. We seek wisdom, we seek knowledge, we seek understanding so that we know his plan for our purposes, for our life, in his will, so that we are still walking in discipleship and doing what he wants us to do. How's your hope this year on Christmas? He's the counselor to the Father's plan for us, to us, and with us. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths straight. Wow. Point B, mighty God. Mighty God. Let's share some verses. Psalms 147:5, great is the Lord, abundant in power. Job 42:2, let's stop a minute. Job had lost everything that he had with the exception of his wife and very little else. He ended up going bankrupt. Ladies and gentlemen, there were no courts to declare him bankrupt and protect him. He was a man of the greatest influence in the entire area. His daughters were the most beautiful in the world. He lost his children. He lost his livestock. He lost everything. And God allowed it for whatever reason. We do not think, because it is not said that Job was privy to the conversation Satan had at the throne of God to tempt Job. And somehow, some way, for some reason, God allowed it because he knew Job was faithful. When you're in the midst of some tough stuff, can I just encourage you with that? To realize, for whatever reason, God is allowing because he can trust you with it. Job 42:2, I know you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You see, as we go forward as a church, as we go forward as a leadership team, as we try to establish some goals, as we try to achieve things that we are trying to do, whether it's debt elimination and increase the Sunday school and increase the church and get out in the community and do and do and do and do, it is his plans. We can come up with all kinds of fun stuff that make it look good. But if it's not his plans, forget it. No plan of yours can be thwarted. Matthew 19:26, with man this is impossible. With God all things are possible. Luke 1:37, nothing is impossible with God. Revelation 19:6, hallelujah, for the Lord Almighty reigns. Are we getting it? God is mighty God. Jesus, the mighty Savior. Point C, everlasting Father, never failing, never fading. Psalms 90 verse 2, before the mountains were brought forth or ever you had formed the earth, you are everlasting to everlasting. You are God, everlasting to everlasting to everlasting, dot, 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 dot. Isaiah 40, 28, you have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. Psalms 112, 26, for the righteousness will never be removed. He will be remembered forever, everlasting. Our text, Isaiah 9:7, of his increase, his government and peace, there shall be no end from this time forth, forevermore, everlasting. Point D, he is the Prince of Peace. He is the ruler, giver, and author of true peace. Some support verses are these. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Perfect keeping peace. What about when your kids go astray? What about when somebody tries to come after you for a bill you don't owe when it becomes a three-ring circus? What about? Perfect keeping peace. Psalms 4:8, in you I will lie down in peace, and you alone are Lord. Perfect restive peace. Isaiah 12:2, the Lord God is my strength and my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord himself is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. Perfect saving, perfect strengthening peace. John 16:33, I have told you these things that you may have peace. Take heart. I have overcome the world. Perfect overcoming peace. What do we expect this Christmas to be like? Do we dwell in the hope that is centered in the Christ of Christmas? Or is he just part of the things we do? When we have a meal next week, is it just something we do? When we connect with family, is it just something we do? Or is it because of the hope that lies within us? Because of the who's we hopefully, prayerfully belong to. Biblical hope embraced is biblical hope believed and becomes biblical hope experienced. Point three is this. One, the hope we have, the Word of God. Two, the hope we have, the ministry of Jesus. Three, the hope we have is based on the person of the fulfillment of prophecies. The hope we have is a fulfillment in Jesus. Some, just one small passage about that is found in John. It's found in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2 and verse 14. I think you know it well, but I'm going to read it to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Who's the Word? Jesus. He was in the beginning with God, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen His glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and full of truth. That's the Christmas story wrapped up in three verses. Did you get it? The same God who was in the beginning is and was now God among you and me. The same God who promised hope of Messiah to us sent the hope of Messiah among us and with us. The same God who is the hope we celebrate and the one who fulfilled it is a hope not deferred but hope personified and present. Do we get it? Do we get it? Point A, the fulfilling of God's presence. Point B, the fulfillment of God's purity to us. Luke 1, 26 through 35. I'm going to read it because it's too long for a PowerPoint. It is when the angel Gabriel goes to Mary. And it starts out in the sixth month. The sixth month is the sixth month of the pregnancy of Elizabeth. So Elizabeth has become pregnant miraculously as well. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. He came to her. He said to her, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what kind of a meaning this might be. And the angel said to her, isn't it interesting? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Invariably, when God or Jesus come into somebody's life suddenly, i.e. behind closed doors, on the Sea of Galilee, and angels coming to people, do not be afraid. You have found favor with God, Mary. Oh, to God that we would all know that we have been found in favor with God. Behold, you, Mary, will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, i.e., he will be the Messiah. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, another fulfillment of another prophecy. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, another fulfillment of another prophecy. And his kingdom there will be no end, another fulfillment of another prophecy. And Mary said to the angel, how can this be since I am a virgin, i.e., I have kept me pure? And the angel said to her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The child will be born who is called Holy, the Son of God. Now that'll preach for a month of Sundays, as my grandmother used to say. That'll preach for a month of Sundays. Become the church of Jesus. The fulfillment of the pure plan of God through the pure Son of God. God among us through the manifestation to us. God among us through the Holy Spirit in us. God among us through the plan revealed to and for and with us. The fulfillment of the pure purpose to save us from our sins, redeem us from the penalty of sin from the Garden of Eden. Remember going back to there, that place where it started? Restore us from the weight of sin, from the one who tempted the tempter of Satan. Revealed in the garden, I am free from the load I once carried. From a dull, empty life, I've been set free. For when I met Jesus, he made me complete. He forgot the foolish man I used to be. Do we know that freedom? Do we know that freedom? To reclaim us to himself, becoming and being the church of the living God, made manifest in us, with us, among us, for us, and through us. Nothing short of purity is given to us should be purity in us. Or otherwise, ladies and gentlemen, can I just make a very powerful telling you of something? Otherwise, we are not pure. We do not have his holy purity. Point C is this, the fulfillment of the plan of God in and with us. Matthew 16, 24, then Jesus told them, if anyone would be my disciple, he must deny himself, take up your own cross, his cross, and follow after, in parentheses, only me. Be and become the true church of the Jesus of Bethlehem. Ladies and gentlemen, that's discipleship. Be and become the true church as Jesus lived in the Gospels. Ladies and gentlemen, that's true discipleship. Be and become the true church of the Jesus of promise to us that gives us hope among us, to be the hope that defines us. Are we defined as being a disciple of Jesus? Seeking after, experiencing, and walking in the second work of grace we call entire sanctification. But from the point we're saved going forward, the hope of Christmas. Jesus is the same hope, the same fulfillment, and the same message of this hope, represented by this candle that we have lit. Full of grace, full of truth, manifest revelation of God. The last verse, message-bearing verse, section in the Bible is found in Revelation 21. I want to quote verse 5. Behold, I am making all things new. From Jesus, who is the hope of all glory. I think you know it. I think you know it. And this will be our benediction. I'm going to ask you to stand because it is our benediction. And if this is something you want to commit to and recommit to, I'm going to ask you to sing it. I have decided to follow Jesus. No dirty path.
Thanks for listening to Champion Church of the Nazarene's weekly sermon podcast. We hope you were inspired by this week's message. We'd love for you to join us on a Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 3924 High Street Northwest in Warren, Ohio. You can also join us on Facebook Live. For more information about our ministries, or if you'd like to contribute to our ministries online, visit us at championnaz.org.